Inside the Studio. The design studio where Johnny Ive reigns on the ground floor of 2 Infinite Loop on the Apple campus is shielded by tinted windows and a heavy-clad locked door. Just inside is a glass booth reception desk where 2 assistants guard access. Even high-level Apple employees are not allowed in without special permission. Most of my interviews with Johnny Ive for this book were held elsewhere, but one day in 2010, he arranged for me to spend an afternoon touring the studio and talking about how he and Jobs collaborate there. To the left of the entrance is a bullpen of desks with young designers. To the right is the cavernous main room with 6 long steel tables for displaying and playing with works in progress. Beyond the main room is a computer-aided design studio filled with workstations that leads to a room with molding machines to turn what's on the screens into foam models. Beyond that is a robot-controlled spray-painting chamber to make the models look real. The look is sparse and industrial, with metallic gray decor. Leaves from the trees outside cast moving patterns of light and shadows on the tinted windows. Techno and jazz play in the background. Almost every day when Jobs was healthy and in the office, he would have lunch with Ive and then wander by the studio in the afternoon. As he entered, he could survey the tables and see the products in the pipeline, sense how they fit into Apple's strategy, and inspect with his fingertips the evolving design of each. Usually it was just the 2 of them alone, while the other designers glanced up from their work but kept a respectful distance. If Jobs had a specific issue, he might call over the head of mechanical design or another of Ive's deputies. If something excited him or sparked some thoughts about corporate strategy, he might ask the chief operating officer, Tim Cook, or the marketing head, Phil Schiller, to come over and join them. Ive described the usual process. "This great room is the one place in the company where you can look around and see everything we have in the works. When Steve comes in, he will sit at one of these tables. If we're working on a new iPhone, for example, he might grab a stool and start playing with different models and feeling them in his hands, remarking on which ones he likes best. Then he will graze by the other tables, just him and me, to see where all the other products are heading. He can get a sense of the sweep of the whole company, the iPhone, an iPad, the iMac, and laptop, and everything we're considering. That helps him see where the company is spending its energy and how things connect. And he can ask, 'Does doing this make sense? Because over here is where we are growing a lot,' or questions like that. He gets to see things in relationship to each other, which is pretty hard to do in a big company. Looking at the models on these tables, he can see the future for the next 3 years. Much of the design process is a conversation, a back and forth as we walk around the tables and play with the models. He doesn't like to read complex drawings. He wants to see and feel a model. He's right. I get surprised when we make a model and then realize it's rubbish, even though based on the CAD, computer-aided design, renderings, it looked great. He loves coming in here because it's calm and gentle. It's a paradise if you're a visual person. There are no formal design reviews, so there are no huge decision points. Instead, we can make the decisions fluid. Since we iterate every day and never have dumbass presentations, we don't run into major disagreements." On this day, Ive was overseeing the creation of a new European power plug and connector for the Macintosh. Dozens of foam models, each with the tiniest variation, have been cast and painted for inspection. Some would find it odd that the head of design would fret over something like this, but Jobs got involved as well. Ever since he had a special power supply made for the Apple II, Jobs has cared about not only the engineering, but also the design of such parts. His name is listed on the patent for the white power brick used by the MacBook, as well as its magnetic connector with its satisfying click. In fact, he is listed as one of the inventors for 212 different Apple patents in the United States as of the beginning of 2011. Ive and Jobs have even obsessed over and patented the packaging for various Apple products. U.S. Patent D558572, for example, granted on January 1, 2008, is for the iPod Nano Box, with four drawings showing how the device is nestled in a cradle when the box is opened. Patent D596485, issued on July 21, 2009, is for the iPhone packaging with its sturdy lid and little glossy plastic tray inside. Early on, Mike Markula had taught Jobs to impute, to understand that people do judge a book by its cover, and therefore to make sure all the trappings and packaging of Apple signaled that there was a beautiful gem inside. Whether it's an iPod Mini or a MacBook Pro, Apple customers know the feeling of opening up the well-crafted box and finding the product nestled in an inviting fashion. "Steve and I spend a lot of time on the packaging," said Ive. "I love the process of unpacking something. You design a ritual of unpacking to make the product feel special. Packaging can be theater. It can create a story." Ive, who has the sensitive temperament of an artist, at times got upset with Jobs for taking too much credit, a habit that has bothered other colleagues over the years. His personal feelings for Jobs were so intense that at times he got easily bruised. "He will go through a process of looking at my ideas and say, 'That's no good. That's not very good. I like that one,'" Ive said. "And later I will be sitting in the audience and he will be talking about it as if it was his idea. I pay maniacal attention to where an idea comes from, and I even keep notebooks filled with my ideas. So it hurts when he takes credit for one of my designs." Ive also has bristled when outsiders portrayed Jobs as the only ideas guy at Apple. "That makes us vulnerable as a company," Ive said earnestly, his voice soft. But then he paused to recognize the role Jobs in fact played. In so many other companies, ideas and great design get lost in the process, he said. "The ideas that come from me and my team would have been completely irrelevant, nowhere, if Steve hadn't been here to push us, work with us, and drive through all the resistance to turn our ideas into products."